This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mack, Wong Xiao Ning and Roshan Kanison. It is 7.36 in the morning, Friday the 6th of December. And in about half an hour, we're going to be having the Breakfast Grill, where I'll be speaking with Professor James Chin, Director of the Asia Institute at the University of Tasmania, and Dr. Kelvin Yee, Member of Parliament for Bandar Kuching. Because Pakatan Harapan came into power with one of its core tenets being to foster better relations with the East Malaysian states of Sabah and Sarawak. Have they achieved it? So we're going to be speaking with Professor James Chin and Dr. Kelvin Yee to discuss federal and state relations in Sarawak as well as other issues moving forward. That's going to be happening after the 8 o'clock news, so be sure to stay tuned. But also, since we are heading into the year end, we're doing an economic outlook a half hour today because the US-China trade war has been definitely one of the main factors also dragging down the global economy this year, and the ASEAN region has not been spared from the impact.
And now, although some countries have fared better than others, and there's always this talk about how Malaysia could benefit from the substitution effect, and maybe we'll see some positivity from there. Now, despite these rough times, a recent report from Maybank Kim Eng suggests a positive forecast for the ASEAN region in the coming year.
So, So the question is, will we see brighter skies for ASEAN in 2020? Sorry there, Lynn. I'm so excited because, you know, I like economics.
Numbers. Xiaoning loves numbers.
I love GDP.
You're the only person, I think, who will ever actually say that she loves the GDP. But so for some insight this morning, we turn to Lee Joo Yee, who's an economist with Maybank Kim Eng, for some insight into the report, as well as for a wider economic outlook for ASEAN. Thank you for joining us, Joo Yee. Now, the recent announcements by President Donald Trump indicate prolonged uncertainty in the resolution of the ongoing US-China trade war. Does this alter your views on ASEAN moving forward?
The US-China trade deal is definitely getting more difficult to predict. But despite all this ongoing uncertainty about whether or not US and China are going to come up with a trade deal, I think our key themes for ASEAN in 2020 still hold. One of which is that the supply chain shift away from China into ASEAN will continue into 2020 and probably gain some momentum as well. More MNCs will adopt a China plus one strategy in order to hedge against the risk of future US-China trade friction. And we have seen FDI applications rising in some of the ASEAN countries starting from the second half of 2018 and also in 2019. And this will begin to translate into actual FDI in 2020 as more MNCs pull the trigger on CapEx spending in the region. And the beneficiaries of this supply chain shift is definitely countries like Vietnam, Malaysia, Thailand, and even the Philippines is seeing quite an uptick in FDI applications as well. Only Indonesia is a bit left out, is failing to gain from the shift.
So what do you think, we will see some form of trade deal between US and China in the near term?
For us, our base case is, despite all this noise going on, we still think that there will be some partial form of trade deal before the US elections in 2020, because President Trump would have to ensure that he would still get votes from the farming states. And we think that once a partial trade deal is signed before the elections, that should be sufficient to reduce some of the uncertainty and also spark a modest recovery in global capital spending as well as trade. And open economies in the region like Singapore, Thailand, Malaysia, as well as Vietnam, will benefit from any of this export recovery.
So, Joo, apart from the uncertainty due to the trade war, what are the other headwinds coming our way in 2020?
Well, I would say that one risk that ASEAN could potentially face in 2020 is that the US may take aim at smaller countries, including ASEAN. US could charge some of the countries for acting as a backdoor for China exports, countries like Vietnam, Malaysia, and Cambodia. Also, US could accuse some of the countries for currency manipulation. We know that Vietnam, Malaysia, and Singapore were already placed on the watch list back in May. And Trump may also remove some of the preferences for trade, the GSP preferences, for some of the developing countries. The US already removed $1.3 billion worth of trade preferences for Thailand in October. And countries like Indonesia and Philippines may potentially be subject to that as well. Indonesia is currently under review whether or not they qualify for this special trade tariffs treatment. And the US may also try to pressure some of the smaller Asian countries to take sides against China, including on issues like technology, whether or not they are going to use Huawei for their 5G rollout, and also through any FTAs that they do with the US.
And speaking of China, Julia, what kind of impact will we see from the slowdown of the Chinese economy?
If the US-China relations deteriorate further in 2020, that may hurt China's economy even further. And this would definitely have an impact on ASEAN, which is largely dependent on the health of the Chinese economy for their exports, for foreign investment, as well as tourism. And given that China is the largest export destination for most of the ASEAN countries, like Indonesia, Malaysia, as well as Singapore, and the Belt and Road investment flows from China, which have been showing some signs of revival in ASEAN this year, also risk slowing down if China tightens its purse strings due to a domestic slowdown. And of course, Chinese tourists are a vital source of tourism income, tourism receipts for all of the ASEAN countries, especially countries like Thailand and Vietnam. So if consumer sentiments worsen because of a slowdown in their economy, it may affect some of the outbound tourist numbers coming into ASEAN as well.
So which countries would be most resilient to these headwinds you mentioned?
Well, definitely all the countries would be affected negatively some way or the other by the headwinds I described above, like deterioration of US-China relations, return of inflation, as well as a slowdown in China. But if I had to choose the most resilient economies, I would choose Indonesia and Philippines, given that these are largely domestic-oriented economies where private consumption is the key growth driver. And also, Indonesia and Philippines are less likely to be under scrutiny by the US compared to countries like Vietnam and Malaysia, which are already on the watch list for currency manipulation and also under suspicion of acting as a backdoor for China exports.
So on another point, which country is most susceptible or will be most affected should inflation return to the region?
Yeah, for now, we think that there's not much inflationary risk because inflation currently is generally very muted across the region. In Thailand, Singapore and Philippines, it's at less than 1%. But in 2020, if there's a stronger than expected recovery in trade, which leads to higher commodity prices and a stronger renminbi, that could revive some of the inflation risk. And I think the countries which would be most affected would be Indonesia and Philippines. They have been historically more sensitive when it comes to rising commodity prices, given that they are net oil importers. So if oil prices shoot up in 2020, this will raise inflation in these countries as well as widen their current account deficits. We also want to highlight that Vietnam is also very much at risk given surging labor costs. It's been one of the countries that's been the biggest beneficiary of the shift in the supply chain. However, it does face supply bottlenecks and it cannot accommodate the surging trade orders as well as the FDI. And hence, wage growth in Vietnam has surged by around 16% in the first 9 months of this year, given the increase in demand. So there's some inflationary risk in Vietnam. And also, inflation may surprise on the upside in other smaller ASEAN countries, especially Myanmar and Laos.
Thank you very much, Juye, for your insight. And that was Lee Juye, economist at Maybank Kim Eng, giving us a broad look about what we can expect for the ASEAN economies in 2020. Now, she did, she highlighted some of the countries most at risk, as well as the countries that were that would be most resilient to the uncertainty posed by the US-China trade war. And she highlighted Indonesia and Philippines as the most resilient countries that she sees, considering their domestically focused and also not liable to be accused by the US of anything thus far.
But on the flip side, because they are most domestically driven and have an internal, less an open economy, if things do recover. And one of the points of the Maybank's report is that they see 2020 trade to be V-shaped, so i.e., you know, a quick swing back up. They also, on the other hand, then won't benefit from some of this FDI flow that we have seen, because the point is now people are really thinking of a China plus one factory. So where is that plus one going to come? And the beneficiaries seem to be Vietnam, Malaysia and Thailand.
All right. And right now we are heading into a few messages for you. But don't forget to vote on the poll we have running. We're asking you, how do you feel about the economy in 2020? And that's over on the BFM Twitter account at BFM Radio. And we're going to be taking a look at the results of that poll, along with our conversation about the Malaysia 2020 outlook with Julia Goh of UOB Malaysia. Be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.